Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our expository study of Revelation chapter 22, covering verses 1 through 5 in this message titled, A Day in Paradise. You can send your comments, questions, or prayer requests by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. That's email address bbbfohio@yahoo.com or the P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now, our study of Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, titled A Day in Paradise. This is part 1 of 2.
Jane's going to sing to open up her Bible study.
Somewhere just beyond the Jordan River is a place of everlasting joy and peace. A stream of life's a flowing there forever, and the crown of life is waiting there for me. And that sounds like home to me, like where
Revelation 22, 1 to 5, and we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone who has come to read and study your word, and thankful that I believe everybody in the room has faith in that King James Bible. And we just pray as we read every word, study verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, and we look at our future home, as we close out our study in the book of Revelation over the next few weeks, Lord, that you'll bless our time in our studies and that all these things we learn will just become a part of our being, that we will just carry these things in our hearts and our minds, and they'll always be a source of encouragement. This life really can stink it up sometimes. Lord, you've given us so many promises and so many wonderful truths that really give us encouragement and hope, and we can encourage ourselves in the Lord from your word. And so we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Revelation 22, 1-5, a day in paradise is what we titled this. A day in paradise. And just real quick, we're not going to show this picture again, but we've shown it a couple times before. It's a beautiful picture of what's to come. We're going to talk about this river of the waters of life, clear as crystal. We're going to talk about these trees. I love how small the people look there, because that's how I picture from reading the scripture. This is just going to be incredible. And, of course, streets of gold and all the rest. So, beginning of verse 1, read that with me. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I don't even know what that's supposed to say. If there's one of the few things, one of the things that few people have in this life, that's what that's supposed to say. It's clean water. Something that as Americans, what do they call it? First world problems. You know, people complain about things. You got a huge segment of the world, actually 780 million people, do not have access to clean water. I plead guilty. I get really upset if I don't have a good, clean glass of water to drink when I'm, when I need water. And people think I'm terrible. I can't stand that chlorine water out of the tap. And but sometimes you got to just hold your nose and drink it. Poor me. Don't you feel sorry for me? Aww. Yeah. Well, these people don't. They're thinking, you spoiled, sniveling brat, that water you've got coming out of that tap, and what we got's mud, and that'd be good. Some of it's full of toxins and waste, and that's just in Flint, Michigan. It's something we take for granted. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. I think we all are guilty. But one day it will be granted. That's what it says right there. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. That's going to be... How many of you have ever gone places where you're so far out in the middle of nowhere and there's absolutely no pollution, no plants dumping things, and you just drink the water right out of a running brook? I've done that a couple times. Really strange, because you drink it out of the running brooks around here, you're committing suicide. You know, go down there and drink it out of the Olin Tangier, the Soda River, you'll probably have the runs in 2 hours. Nasty. Go out. There's still places in America, though, where you can go right up a little canteen, fill that thing up, drink it. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. It tastes so good. It's just, you don't even think this is water. It's almost sweet. I mean, it's probably according to where you're drinking the water. But I had water way out in the middle of nowhere up in New York. And it was like... it has sweetness to it. It's a strange thing. Can you imagine what this is going to taste like? How many of you like a good, cold, clear glass of water? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Oh, man. Because our water isn't exactly pure. You know, the Bible says this is going to be pure water. I take it for granted it's going to be H2O and nothing else. I mean, it's going to be pure, nothing. But we don't drink H2O. We drink H2O plus something or other. And you get something. I mean, I'd love for somebody just to come up with that sometime. Water that is completely, I don't even think they have filtration systems that are capable of cleaning it like that. But we're not going to worry about this in heaven. This is a report just a couple months ago that cancer-causing toxins are in Central Ohio water systems. Of course, you'll be shocked to know that the Columbus Department of Public Utilities denied the accuracy of the report. But they said, the Environmental Working Group said that chromium-6, a cancer-causing chemical that was featured in the movie Aaron Brockovich, has been found in several Central Ohio drinking water systems. And I'm not going to get into that, but it says that nearly 218 million Americans' water supply contained more chromium-6 than was deemed safe. In Ohio, it's Franklin County, Crawford, Delaware, Fayette, Licking, Knox, Marion, and Union counties. And here's a map showing all the places in blue where they have too much chromium-6. I can't vouch for that study, but I'll tell you this, it wouldn't surprise me. And I think we got stuff coming in our water periodically here and there that we don't even know about, you know? So water filters are a temporary fix. Now, how many of you have water filters? Yeah, I don't blame you. Just if you're wondering, what we use is Berkey filters. This is not a paid advertisement. But I know I'm going to get email where people are going to say, what do you recommend? There you go. You don't have to send me an email now. You can send me an email, but just not about that. And that's exactly what we have. Charlie, you pretty happy with yours? Okay. And you won't need a Berkey in the New Jerusalem, thank God. That's basically the bottom line of that text. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Now read that. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Think about that. The water proceeds from the throne of God. Now, do you just a review. You remember in Genesis 1, how was it that everything got created? Three words.
And God said.
So people say, well, there's a throne of God and the water coming. Where's the water coming from? I think God just said, okay, water, run out from here, clear as crystal for eternity. And and there's just a source of brand new, brand spanking new, crystal clear water coming from the throne of God. Amen. Never been touched. Amen. Never been through the sanitation department. Because you just think about it, we're drinking a lot of water that's been some bad places. Amen?
Amen?
How many of you are aware of that? Have you ever thought about it? Water is dirty. That's why they put all those chemicals, is to kill the place it came from. Bad stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think Americans especially read the Bible, and a lot of times we're so spoiled, we don't really grasp. Like people who've read this from some countries are like, oh, I've never had real good water before. Well, a lot of Americans haven't either, but there's an old saying, you don't know what you're missing when you never had it. And that's what I think a lot of people do. Question, what could be better than drinking water straight from God? What could be better?
Nothing.
Fruit from God. Yeah. Did you notice that as we were reading? Because some of you are asleep. As you were reading, it says you're going to have water from the throne of God, and then you're going to eat from God's fruit trees.
Amen.
Awesome. Read it. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. I'm going to stop there, because I want you to understand, reality check, I believe Scripture's clear that this is the same tree that was in Eden.
Amen.
I think it's the same tree.
The tree of life.
And with the tree of life was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just going to say this because I believe it's true. You can't find either one of those trees today. And there's all kinds of guys who, you know, Peter Ruckman says it's a grape and somebody else says something else. I'm trying to think of who it was who was saying that they thought it was a certain type of fruit that's found over there near where they believe the Garden of Eden was. No. if you find it, it's the fruit of the tree of life. And if you found the other, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it would be the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not a, you know, a peach or, you know, a walnut tree. I believe that those trees were destroyed by God, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was destroyed by God. And the tree of life, I believe, we're going to see when we go to heaven. Back in Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were two distinct trees, different from every tree you've ever seen. They're not the same as some other tree you've ever seen. And this tree is so potent that if Adam and Eve had eaten of it after the fall, they would have lived forever as fallen, hopeless, zombie-like creatures. Even after the fall, they lived a long time. They lived 10 times longer than we do. But they still, after that 10 times longer life, they decayed. And they died. But if they had eaten of the tree of life, they could not have died. So they would have remained a decaying form, but never dying, if they had eaten of that tree. So when you see that, what it says in verse 22, you see it's an act of mercy on God's part. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he, look at what God says to you right here, God speaking, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever in the condition he's in." God is concerned that Adam and Eve, in their fallen condition now, would take of that tree and eat it and live forever. Doesn't say they'll live forever and look the same or be the same forever. They are now fallen. They would now suffer the curse forever. So as an act of mercy, God kicked them out. And verse 23 says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken." Kicked him out of the garden, and Eve is evicted with Adam. And I just put that out there because it's, I think they call those, is it a simile?
Alliteration.
When it looks the same, but it's not the same. I thought it was a simile. But it's a strange coincidence. But I've studied this for a while, and I can't find any etymological evidence that the words are related. But Eve was kicked out, and now what do we call it when you're kicked out? Evicted. Ain't that something? Etymology is the history of the word. I can't find any proof of a connection. That's quite a coincidence, isn't it? Eve is kicked out of the garden, and now every time someone is kicked out of something, they're evicted. Is that a homonym? Homonym. Homonym. So God blocks the way. He not only kicks them out, but in verse 24, "You shall not pass." Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I just better watch the movie.
So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. All right, you guys stop there for a second and realize these are some big, winged, scary dudes. These would scare you to death. They're not little babies with wings, you know, floating around like Cupid. And they're not effeminate looking with long hair and, you know, playing a harp. No. Cherubims, you need to understand what that... Lucifer, I believe, is a cherub. Oh, the Bible says he's a cherub. So when you think of Lucifer, do you think of a pretty thing? Doesn't say that when Lucifer fell, he got a facelift and now, you know, looks ugly. He's a beautiful creature. He's the angel of light. He appears as the angel of light. All these things with that nasty horn, "I'm Lucifer, I'm Satan." No, that's cartoons. That's not Bible. And those cherubs are probably very beautiful, but because of what they are, they're intimidating. Read about it in Isaiah and Ezekiel and elsewhere. Look what it says. And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So you got this cherubim, or cherubims plural, and they have a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Just, I don't even know how we can picture that, but a flaming sword turning every way. You kind of picture it's like he's going, this big, huge, winged, massive, beautiful creature with a flaming sword. God's serious about keeping them from getting into that garden and getting a hold of the tree of life. Hollywood has never even come close to telling the story of the Bible. Never will, because they don't ever want to tell you an accurate story of the Bible. They don't ever want you to have an accurate representation of the Bible. They've got the special effects and the ability to do it, but every time they try, they come up with some piece of garbage like that Russell Crowe Noah. You know, right? I mean, you think people in Hollywood, you have to believe they're just wicked, otherwise they're deranged to come up with the movies they do and call it Bible movies. So the way, though, you notice that? To keep the way of the tree of life is blocked. But who came and cleared the way? The way has been cleared by the way. Amen. Who is who?
Jesus.
So who is the way? John 14, 6. Read that with me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way was blocked to the tree of life, and Jesus, the way, has cleared the way to the tree of life. Ain't that something? In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, what's that say? Which bare 12 manner of fruits. So this tree of life bears 12 manner of fruits. And while we won't be on the clock or measuring time, none of you are going to have a watch. None of you are going to have to worry about setting your alarm in the morning. You know, we're not going to talk about, you're not going to have, one thing that you're not going to do in heaven is watch the ball drop. Everything that? And after what you saw this year, we're like, thank you, Lord. Because the ball dropping thing was pretty disastrous. And we're sitting there watching, and we have this picture in picture, and we have Fox News had their own one. We're thinking, well, maybe that'll be a little cleaner. And it was cleaner. Up in the corner, I had another one, and I look up, and it looks like they're naked dancing up there. Turns out it was Mariah Carey and her backup singers, and they had on nude simulation suits. Looked like they were nude. So we turned that off, and turned off the picture-in-picture. And then Fox News, right before the ball drops, this cute little girl says, now before the ball drops, I want us all to sing a song about how we can change the world. Join with me. Imagine there's no heaven, no hell below us. They sing John Lennon's tribute to Satan. Complete Antichrist, we hate God and your Christian religion, we imagine a world where you're all dead song. I'm just like, I can't believe this. You can't even have a family, one channel. There's like 300 channels. Not one of them can have a family New Year's Eve celebration where they're not singing to Antichrist. So we muted it, and then right before the ball, you know, I turned it back on. Sadly, when I muted it, Stephen started singing, so it was almost as bad, but no, I'm just kidding. We love Stephen. So we're not going to be measuring time. We're not going to have New Year's Eve anymore. We're not going to watch ball drop. But there is a cycle of months in place. You say, well, how's that work? Well, I can kind of identify, because I can keep track of the months, but I'm losing track of the years already. Amen? How many of you, can I get a witness? Some of you are going to man up and admit you're right there with me. It's 2017. Does that not sound weird? 2017. Before you know it, we're going to be 2020, just like Barbara Walters used to. Next on 2020. No, that's actually the year now. I can't keep up. Well, you think about heaven, with no one really keeping track, you're not going to have the, you know, what year is it? But we are going to have a cycle of months, because it says, and these trees yielded her fruit every month. And there's 12. So every month there's a change in the fruit that is yielded. Now, there's some questions about it that we can speculate on these things. Like, for example, it says, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And this is in eternity. So what's that mean? And really, it's speculation. God just didn't tell us exactly what that meant. What does it mean for the healing for the nations? Is that a one-time healing or an ongoing need? Does that mean like for the first 12 months, the nations come in and eat of the fruit and then they don't need it anymore? Or how's that work? Well, as we talked in the last study, it's not something that I would make a firm doctrine and a doctrinal statement or anything, but it seems to me that the Gentile nations of the planet will continue. They come to the temple in the New Jerusalem. They are granted access. They bring gifts. There's life goes on in some way throughout eternity. And folks, most of the fundamental Bible teachers who have dared to speak on this agree that they believe there's evidence that what's going to happen is there's continually, not us, not the glorified, you're saved, we're not going to be married or given in marriage, but that there is some kind of a procreation going on and children being born and the universe being populated. Do I teach that? I just mention it. It's not a part of my statement of faith, because I just honestly haven't found anything solid to lay it down and say that's the way it is. Someone watching this may see me teaching, if the Lord tarries, a few years from now, and I might say, yeah, I found a little more about this, I feel more comfortable talking about it. But I've read what these other guys say. But I mean, you think about it, eternity's a long time.
Yep.
You know, and as it's beyond time. And so that's just a lot of months. A lot of tree of life, you know, producing a lot of fruit over a period of... What's God got in store and planned for us? I think that's why Paul, when he visited the third heaven and came back, he didn't give a lot of information, because it'd blow our brains, man. We'd be mind blown by it. And so we just have to kind of leave that out there. We know this isn't related to sin or physical healing, because those sin and physical healing is part of the curse. And what's it say in the next verse? And there shall be no more curse. So there you go with that. So you kind of can put these things together and say, well, we know what it isn't. And so what it might be is this and that. And so the point is, go. And then you'll know. Amen? Say that with me. Go, and then you'll know. Yeah, Johnny?
That verse that our dad points us to it on, mentioning the tea, because it says the leaves of the tree are for healing.
Could boil them in that crystal water and have a good cup of tea.
Amen.
I'm sure all the English say amen.
And the ominous.
Hello, Lord, I'd like a spot of tea. That's another question. Are we all going to talk like this when we go to heaven? Because in all the Bible movies, they're English. I don't even know if that's an English accent. I'm sure that we have English people watching. Lauren and Marie and Melissa and Kevin and some of these guys are going to watch this and say, that is terrible. That doesn't sound like us. It's like when I do a Canadian, a boot. What's that, a boot, eh? You know, the Canadian's all right. That was terrible.